Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay only for what you use. Ting doesn't require a contract and offers unlimited devices on one shared plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 129 for January 8th, 2014, the Mosley CM1 history. Hello, everybody. From cold Missouri, I'm back. And I got it all going on here, my scarf and my fur coat and my Missouri Tigers cap. It's like, well, it was minus 12 here a couple of days ago. I don't know that I've ever been in minus 12 weather. And then they say it's going to be 50 Saturday. So I don't know, but I can tell you that it's cold. If not today, it got a little better. I think it got up to like 34 or 40 or somewhere, but it's still cold and lots of snow. We got a lot of snow. How did we do in Mississippi, George? How are you? I missed you, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Bob. Well, it's great to have you back with us. It really got cold here, 11 degrees a couple of nights ago, and I'm not sure last night it was projected for around 16. I'm not sure where it got, but it's starting to warm up now, so hopefully we'll be able to get outside a little bit this weekend.
All right. Well, it'll be time to get antennas going. What the heck? That's great. Well, Gordo's not going to be with us because he's in Las Vegas where it's probably 90. He's at the CES show. But we do have, of course, Don. Don, how is it down there? It's probably, 70?
No, it's not near that. It's just a little bit warmer than where George is. I think we were 40, 41 today. It's 36 right now, 20 this morning, and 16 yesterday morning. And I was without water yesterday morning. So I got water again, and all is fine now. And it's good to have you back among the fold here.
Yeah, glad to be here, and we missed all you guys and gals, but Cheryl will not be here. She had something going on so with her family, so we have Amanda to sit in. Amanda, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, everybody, and a Happy New Year's to everyone. Glad to be on Ham Nation tonight. Missed you guys. And, of course, I have some great guests here tonight for you. We'll get to that later. Of course, I have Cody and Jacob.
Hello.
And we'll get to their stories later, but glad to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're here because we want to talk to you about something that's been happening there. I've been getting a lot of emails on different things. One of the important things that I got here that affects Illinois is that they put a ban on cell phones in the car. However, this is kind of interesting. In their rules and laws, it says that the amateur radio, two-way mobile and amateur radio communications is exempt. So that's really cool. Whoever put that all together up in the capital of Illinois, thank you. And again, amateur radio comes through because we need it for emergencies. And talking about emergency is why Amanda's here with our guest. Amanda, I read several things in the past while here about a very courageous thing that happened there and very, very life-saving. So why don't you take the microphone and tell us about what went on in your area?
Thanks, Bob. And yeah, if you guys have been following AR Newsline or QRZ, stuff like that, you've seen the story about how Cody and his son and his whole family pulled over on the side of the road and managed to help save some lives. I'm going to let Cody take it away because I have overrun the media with this story, and we'd like to hear Cody's side of it. And after that, we'll go to Jacob. It's hard to split three headphones, so Cody's going to go first, then we'll pass it to Jacob. I'll ask him a few questions. So take it away, Cody, and thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. It's my pleasure to be here. And hello to everyone tonight. A little nervous. I'm not a really great storyteller, but I'll do the best that I can here. I don't want to seem braggish or anything because I truly feel like I did something that any decent person would or should have done. That's just the way I feel about it. But basically, it started on a Friday night. I think it was December 6th. We were in Pueblo. I'd been working for the day. And actually, our contract was up, so we got us some new cell phones for the family and did a little shopping and stuff, and then ate dinner and on our way back home. It was after dark, so we drove through Canyon City, past the Royal Gorge, and turned onto Copper Gulch Road to go to my home. And we were up there about 5 miles or so, and I noticed there was a car behind me that you know, because it's so dark on these rural mountain roads that you notice the headlights behind you. You just can't help it. It's just pitch black. And I noticed that the headlights disappeared. So I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw the taillights actually roll down into the gulch. And I was like, well, that's not good. So it's, you know, kind of, it's about one below zero at this time. The roads are iced over, light snow. And I couldn't turn around just anywhere. I was in a one-ton truck, but even with that, we had to drive about a quarter of a mile just to find a place to turn around. And the batteries were all dead on our cell phone, and I knew this, so I turned to Jacob, and he had a new Bofang radio, actually. Because
Ray Novak, don't listen to that.
Because he wanted a new radio if he got his tech license. And I said, if you get your tech license, we'll buy you one. And that's what we could afford, so that's what we got him. And, you know, I turned to him, and I got it, and I went ahead and made the call. I just called emergency three times after braking. I said brake for emergency and called three times. And Jeff picked up initially, and I told him what had happened, that we'd had a rollover accident on Copper Gulch and the location. And he passed it to Amanda, and she got in touch with the dispatch in Florence and got the state police on their way for us. And I really appreciate you, Amanda, and Jeff as well, because you guys don't know how, you know, it's one thing to be there, but to hear a calming voice on the other end really made a big difference. So you guys are lifesavers, so I'm telling you. So, but anyway, so we arrived back on scene after turning around, and I just park in the road, and I see five individuals coming up out of the gulch. Their vehicle had rolled about 30 feet down into the gulch, and it rolled over and landed on its wheels. But there was like three teenage young ladies and a adult male and adult female there. And first thing I did was ask them, make sure that everybody was accounted for, because I work in a hospital and have for 17, 18 years. And I know that that's one of the things you want to make sure, that you have everybody accounted for and there's not somebody laying out there hurt. So we accounted for everyone. About that time, another vehicle stopped to help, and we divided the passengers up into our vehicles to keep them warm. You know, I wasn't wearing my hospital scrubs and a Carhartt jacket. And you learn lessons pretty quickly that that's not really a coat out there in that kind of cold weather. So I had a blizzard suit in my vehicle that I carry with me for work, and I donned that. And all I had was some really thin gloves, so they were basically like having nothing on. And just maintained communication back and forth with Amanda and Jeff, and relaying the information that they asked for, which was pretty simple, other than the just being cold and trying to keep, you know, we had a few cars I had to direct by and things like that. But I noticed one of the ladies when she came out, one of the young girls, I think she had a concussion. She was nauseated and dizzy. And another one had a hurt neck. And like I said, I've worked in a level one trauma center before in radiology. So I'm kind of aware of what EMS function is. And I helped out. We put a C-collar on the one young girl when the EMS finally arrived, Deer Mountain arrived after the state police. I'm thinking about 45 minutes, something like that. So basically, our mission was to keep them warm and keep everybody safe and warm until EMS could get there and make the transport of the patients, which they transported two patients to the young ladies to St. Thomas More in Canyon City. So that was about it. I maintained the communication until it looked like all the needed individuals were on scene, and then I just told Jeff we needed to turn it back to normal use on the repeater after that. And a big shout out to the K0JSC fun link system here in Southern Colorado, because it was a lifesaver. It really was.
Well, that's really a great story. And there again, it's amateur radio that pulled it all together. And some of the chat room guys are saying, too, that those people are very lucky that you were there and ham radio is there. And, of course, like you said, you had a calming voice. And I tell you that we hear so much from Amanda that her and Jeff go through, and they're seasoned at that. And that really helps to make things run much smoother for you guys that are there on the scene. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and telling us about that, Cody and Jacob. And we'll continue to support, of course, the emergency all of the emergency communications that happen in amateur radio. And we know that Amanda and Jeff are very involved in it. So thanks so much, Amanda, for putting that together. And thanks for all of you being there. And I know there's some people that are really their lives have saved because of all that probably. So thanks very much, Amanda. We really appreciate you getting that together.
I didn't do a lot, you guys. In fact, I think I kept saying my call sign to dispatch instead of on the airwaves that I was supposed to be using. So, and Jacob, I'd just like you to say hi to everybody. Maybe your girlfriend.
Hi.
Haley?
Hi, Haley.
There you go. I had to get all that right out of you guys. So, hey, I guess I will see you guys later on tonight during the chat. So thanks, Bob. Thanks for having us on tonight. And one more thing. My dad said, I was acting like this wasn't a big deal. And my dad said, aren't there 750,000 of you guys in the U.S.? I said, yeah, there is. He said, well, how many of them invest their lives in ham radio and never have the opportunity to help somebody like this? And it kind of made me all teary-eyed. So anyhow, I'm glad I was there, and I'm glad these guys are there. They're heroes. The Cody, 10 below. I don't know how you did it. Okay, back to you, Bob.
Well, thank you. No one could say it any better, Amanda. That's wonderful. Well, thanks so much. And for all of you, if you don't join the chat room or haven't joined the chat room tonight, do that, because Amanda's going to go toddling off to the chat room now and get a hold of some comments and some questions. And she'll be back at the end of the show and see what everybody has to say or questions that we might be able to answer. So jump on the old chat room and we'll talk to you all later. Thanks so much. And I really get involved about this emotionally, because I know how much amateur radio does, and little is said about it. That's what's so important about bringing Amanda and some of her friends on, because they do these things and it's like, okay, so we did it, but man, they saved some lives. Isn't that amazing? Wonderful. Well, I have been all over the darn Midwest since I saw all of you last. One of the things that I did is I was able to visit John Clemens. Each of you that watch Ham Nation know how much I'm in love with that. A little CM1 Mosley receiver. They didn't build very many of those. And I've had that one since 1962. When they built them that year. Well, I knew that there was something going on about the design. It wasn't done by the Mosley engineers. They were antenna engineers. And because of the St. Louis Amateur Radio Club and all the guys around there, they put out a want that I issued, and we found, or they found, John Clemens. And I got to talk to him on the phone. He wrote me a wonderful letter in handwritten cursive. It was great. So I got to visit he and Joyce, his wonderful wife. What a fabulous time. We've been there a couple times. And so I took my video camera, and I want you to see this wonderful, incredible interview with John Clemens, W0BD. Popular magazines and catalogs of the 1950s featured ads of the Moseley Company, known for their great antenna designs. But for a few years, they produced a very unique ham radio receiver designed by John Clemens of McDonald Aircraft, who designed the receiver in the Thor missiles and responsible for the aircraft marker beacon receivers. John brought his engineering skills to build the CM1. Here is the story of that unique CM1 receiver.
John Clemens, raised in Evansville, Indiana. I got my license in March 13th, 1939. I was W9ERN.
Tell us about how ham radio played such an important part to your career.
It's been a center of my growing up and my becoming an engineer. It's the only thing I ever wanted to do was be an electrical engineer and design radio stuff.
Right. You were working for McDonnell Douglas across the airport, right?
I had a good job here, but I had been promoted out of doing any work. I was a paper shuffler. I had 700 people in my lab organization, so I was had a damn good job, but I like to keep my hand in by designing some ham gear and stuff, and that's how I designed this receiver. Uh-huh. And it was really just to indulge my desire to be making things, and that's why I did it.
To me, John Clemens' claim to fame, although you've done a lot of things in your all of the companies you work, but tell us a little bit about how you came up with this CM1 and what CM1 means, letters.
Yeah, CM1, when I designed this thing, I had a friend at the plant, and I said, I'm going to try to get Moseley or somebody to make that, or maybe make it myself. But I'll have to be a company. What should I think I'll, how about Clemens Manufacturing? And I said, well, it really doesn't sound too good. The other guy said, sounds all right to me. So I said, okay, I'll be Clemens Manufacturing. And this is the first thing, so this is a CM1. So I took it over to Carl Moseley, and he said, what's your model number? I said, it's a CM1. He said, well, I'm Carl Moseley, and this is my first receiver, so we'll call it a CM1. Uh-huh. I got three receivers and $5 on every one he sold. And he sold about 1,000 of them. And then he quit.
Tell us about the design. It's very unique. It uses just one type of tube.
One type tube.
Was there a reason for that? How did you come up with this great design? Because it works so well.
Well, I had made some other equipment, a ham transmitters primarily, and then they came out with these double function too. First they had the 6SN7, mm-hmm. which are two triodes, mm-hmm. and then the AW8A was a diode, a triode and a pentode, and that suggests itself as an RF mixer and an oscillator.
Well, the receiver has great rejection, and I always marvel. I use it on AM almost every morning. Yeah. And
the input circuit is double-tuned. It's not the most input circuits are a single-tuned tune, mm-hmm. tune circuit. Mm-hmm. But this signal goes through from one circuit to the next without amplification. Mm-hmm. And it's worked out pretty good.
Well,
I made comparisons with a 2B. Of course, Drake receiver was such an outstanding performer. Mm-hmm. Where what it had that I never equaled was the AGC performance. Mm-hmm. You could be listening to a weak signal and go send your own reply, and the super duper heavy duty signal from your own transmitter came out at about the same audio level mm-hmm. as the distance station.
Right.
Mine never equaled that. I also had the bearing in here for the drive pinch wheel is the shaft of this mechanism here, the pinch wheel, the drive shaft, is lubricated with conductive grease, so it is grounded to the chassis.
Well, I thank you very much for your time and letting me visit your home, you and your wife, Joyce, and I do hope that we can take this story to the Ham Nation viewers yeah. and let them learn a little more about the background of what really happened in the early days of ham radio.
Yeah, well, it's there are lots of stories there. But, I watch Ham Nation occasionally, but we usually go to bed by 8 o'clock around here now. At my age, why, that's all of us do that yes. sort of thing. Plus a nap at noon.
Yes. But you get to watch the replay, so that's all that counts,
yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
I have admired the CM1 receiver since the early 60s when I would stop by the Mosley plant and watch them being built. So I thought it'd be special to have John Clemens, its creator, sign my CM1. Thank you, John. I appreciate you signing the back of it.
Okay. Boy, that is amazing. So you've made from 1962. Look at the shape it's in.
It's
unbelievable.
Well, we hope it lasts for years.
Yeah, I hope the tubes last.
We'll find some. What a great time I had that day, and it happened to be my birthday. Oh, I had a special birthday this past year with John, and we made great friends. And I've been there a couple of times. I took my good friend Ken with me, W0HRO. And then Ken has a tremendous collection of his restored vintage pieces of gear. He's got all kinds of very cool things. And John visited him, and about a week later, he was intrigued. And we just had a great time there, and we'll be there again soon. Talking about Ken, hey, George, you know, we talked about this some time ago about band switches, right?
Like, right, yeah.
Band switches are the worst thing in the world for the amplifiers today. And I know that in your world of the broadcast industry, it's a big problem. Well, there's a company called Multi-Tech, Multi-Tech Industries. Check out these switches. I've got some stills that I took of these. I want you to look at these, George, and see what you think. We were able to purchase one here last fall, and Ken put it in my 922, which 922 is kind of a problem amplifier because of that band switch. The next one, you'll be able to see the contacts on this thing. It has a Teflon, that blue piece around it, and there are little spacers in between the fingers so they won't arc. What a great design this is. Isn't that cool, George?
Yeah, and that's all ceramic there for the insulation?
Uh-huh. Yep, it's ceramic. This one was made for the L75 Drake amplifier, and it's the same way, where they insulate in between where the arcing would be. What a great idea. And I just wanted to turn everybody on to that. And I think here at last, I got a picture of they send you a DVD and great instructions on how to put them in your different amplifiers. And here's a picture of my good friend, W0HRO. What a great call. But he has got just a tremendous collection. This is just a few pieces. He got a great shop, and I appreciate his help. He really helps me a lot keeping some of this old stuff going. So thanks to Ken. But what'd you think about that, George? That's a great idea, isn't it?
It really is, because a band switch is a weak spot in your amplifier or tuner, and the ceramic is great. You don't see that quite so often today, but I have never seen that Teflon insulator like that before.
Yeah, that's really cool. Multi-dash tech. Well, we have a word from DX Engineering, which I spent a couple of days at this past December. It was really fun. And let's see what DX Engineering's got cooking here.
Yeah, DX Engineering is, I can't wait to make a trip up there one of these days and see the store, just from seeing them here on Ham Nation, just amazing. Well, if you're into digital communications, that is just an exciting evolution of ham radio, and DX Engineering can help you get into the action with everything you need, like the Tigertronics Signal Link digital sound card interface. That's what I use here at the AE5DW station, that little Signal Link. And it works great. It works with your radio and your computer to unlock all sorts of operating modes. You can work RIDI, slow scan TV, both analog and digital, CW, PSK, JT65, EchoLink, everything. The new modes being introduced all the time. It's easy to set up. It plugs right into the USB port, right to your radio with a specialized cable. Now, the cable is radio specific, and they're available separately for just $14.95. So if you get a different radio, all you got to do is replace that cable, not the whole thing. It's USB powered. There's no extra power requirements, and it is just slick as it can be. It's a built-in sound card. It means that it will not tie up your computer's sound card. It is completely external, and it's got the front panel control, so you can make adjustments very quickly and very easily. If you need to adjust the input or the output level on it, just a couple of little thumb screws right there on the front, and it works great. Now, also, you can get your DV dongle from Internet Labs from DX Engineering. They will turn your computer into an access point for D-Star. It's a great way to get D-Star connectivity if there are no repeaters in range. You can get on the D-Star reflectors with your computer with the dongles. Create your own portable digital hotspot, and they're the perfect companion to any D-Star-equipped radio. Hookup is easy. Again, just plug right into the USB port. Worldwide VHF, UHF communications from your easy chair or from your laptop in a hotel room or your office. I use mine at the radio station sometimes. And speaking of D-Star, DX Engineering will carry plenty of D-Star-capable radios as well from ICOM. Harness the power of the Internet. Reach the world with that ICOM D-Star radio. Crystal clear phone transmissions in digital voice mode, or use digital signal data mode for even more capability. Send text messages, GPS tracking info, live images in real time. You can even connect, like I said, to a laptop and check email and surf the web. And D-Star functionality is either built-in or pre-equipped on many of the ICOM radios. That includes your base, your mobile, and your handhelds. In addition to the radios, DX Engineering also carries D-Star repeater modules and controllers. Get everything you need to build your own D-Star repeater at dxengineering.com. Start using all the digital modes from the radios and interfaces to books and software. DX Engineering has you completely covered to get you all the way plumb in digital communications. Grab any of the gear, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck, and it'll be headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. DX Engineering helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. It is greatly appreciated. I think it's time for a little smoke and solder. What do you think, guys? Huh? I think I can smell it. I smell it. Yeah, it's that north wind. I smell it blowing down here.
Sounds good to me, Don. Somebody was commenting in the chat room a moment ago about my sign being reversed. I'm not sure what's up with that, but maybe we'll get it straightened out here in a minute. Anyway, over the holidays, I had a chance to do a little bit of tinkering. I've got a project I've been working on and off now for several months, and it came down to soldering a surface mount chip. And I don't mean like the ones you've seen me do before. I mean a cell phone size chip. So let's take a look at, if you're going to do some prototyping, how could you possibly use that chip in one of your projects?
What if you were working on a project that had a really tiny chip? Well, that's what I'm going to do today. Just to give you a comparison, there's a dime, and there's the chip that I'm trying to solder. If we look at the bottom here, the leads are so close together that that's going to be virtually impossible to do with a soldering iron. Fortunately, I have a hot air rework station to do that. But the leads are on the bottom of the chip. They're not around the edges. How would you ever get this on a PC board? Fortunately, you can get these little devices right here. This is made by Proto Advantage, as others call surfboards or proto boards. There's several different ones out there. This is the only one that I could find that would work with this particular chip. You can see this is a QFN40 package. It's 0.4 millimeter spacing between each of these pads here. So we're going to try to mount the chip on here today and get that soldered. Now, once again, that's tiny. You've seen me take solder paste before and just make some little ropes across the traces. That's not going to work in this case because they're just so close together. I've got one of these, and this is a little stencil made just for this particular size of chip. This is the way they do surface mount work in the factories. So to make this happen, we'll line up our stencil here. There's a little hole right there for the little dot there. And we'll line this up perfectly on top. But before we put the stencil on there, there's one other important step here. We need to clean off the PC board here with some alcohol. And they supply a little alcohol pad here just for that purpose. Now I'm going to tape down our proto board so that it doesn't slide around on me while I'm trying to do this. Now getting this thing lined up perfect is a little bit harder than it sounds.
Popcorn freshly popped and buttered.
Mm-mm.
Look good? Sure, it looks good, and it tastes even better. Get some now.
Now, after much work and using a magnifying glass and a strong light, I was able to get this in there. I think the key is you'll notice the four little holes there in either corner. If you line those up, then you can get the rest of the leads in there correctly. And that looks to me like it's ready to go now. So we'll put some solder paste on here, and then we'll squeegee it over with a stencil, and that'll put the paste just where we need it and in the right quantities, hopefully. And that looks like it should have done the job. And now we'll carefully remove the stencil so that we don't smear the paste around in the process. And I believe that's what we wanted to see. It looks like each of the pads there has some solder paste on it, and there's not any in between. Now the next step here is not going to be any easier, and that's placing the chip right there perfectly on it. I'm going to pull out my magnifier to do this, and I don't think you'll be able to see it on camera. Now what I did here is looked at the ends of the pads here on the chip, and I set that down in the paste, and I believe I've got it lined up perfectly there. I'm going to look a little more with the magnifying glass just to be sure. And now we're going to pull out our hot air rework station and see if we can get this to solder. I'm going to back down the fan speed just a little bit, so hopefully I don't blow the chip around. Now, I hope that did the job. We're just going to have to look carefully with a magnifying glass and see how we turned out. There you go. Looks like we pulled it off. I looked around all the sides. I don't see any solder bridges. And it looks like all the pins are soldered. Now, this was very difficult to do. Not for the faint of heart. I could have done better using a microscope with this than the pair of thick glasses and two magnifying glasses that I used. That's it. And that was quite tough to do. I actually had two more of those chips that I need to put on some of those little boards too. I didn't do them that night. I tell you, that like to wore me out, Bob. That is some tiny stuff.
But a little easier to work with tubes and all of that, right?
Boy, you're not kidding, man. But there's a lot in there in those little chips that. And maybe we'll see in the future what I'm working on. Yeah. You know, last time we didn't really have a contest. I knew we were going to be off for a couple of weeks, so we didn't do it. But we're back with one this time, and I've got a good question and a good prize here. The question is, before there was SOS, there was another three-letter Morse code signal used for radio distress calls. What was it? And if you think you know the answer to that, send me an email at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win some of this Heil wire. This is great stuff for wiring up your microphones. Look at it here. It's got one pair here of good heavy conductors there for your microphone, and those are covered with a braided silver. And I tell you, that is not going to make noise when you wiggle that cable around like some of the foil stuff does. It's also braided. It's not just twisted around there, so it gives you good shielding over that microphone pair. But there's another pair left there. These you can use for push-to-talk or, I would assume, return audio or whatever you need. I don't know where else you can find a cable that's got these conductors, but it's also got a good rubber jacket insulation here on the outside. Some very heavy-duty cable here. So if you want to win that, then send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and tell me, what was the first radio distress signal? It wasn't SOS, but it was three letters. And now let's go on over to, Bob, what do you say we bring in Mike? I think he's hanging in the wing somewhere, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I hope so. There he is.
Hi, Mike.
There's a guy that doesn't have minus zero temperatures. Mike, it's good to see you from Gilroy, California. How are you?
I am just great, Bob and George. Wow, what is that small little chip there you're soldering on? It's been nice and warm out here. For Christmas, we had temperatures in the 70-degree plus out on the beach. It was very nice out here in California on the West Coast. Let's say hello to everybody and Happy New Year from Gilroy. And let everybody know, this is my fourth year as a ham. I was licensed back in 2010 in the month of January. So 4 years, and wow, what a bunch of fun I've had. Been hanging out with you guys for about 3 years now. And, of course, doing the after show net on 40 meters. And I tell you, conditions have not been the best here during the winter season as usual. And we're hanging in there. Last week we had 26 check-ins. Well, the last show back in December. And we've got our usuals that check in. Of course, Al and Dale are assisting net control stations. And Larry, WD0AKX. And let's see here, Bill, NE4RD up there in Montana. Okay. Hey, and everybody's welcome to check in. Just want to let you know, I know a lot of you aren't watching the show that do come check in. You're not watching it live. You tune in, you expect us to be there. Yeah, we've been gone for a couple of weeks, but we should be going strong now until the summertime here with, I'm not sure when the next holiday is coming up on a Wednesday, but we are out there every week around 7:15 on the West Coast here. And we start up the net and we will run until 9 o'clock or midnight on the East Coast. if people are on the air or until we run out of check-ins. So, hey, and we're always looking for new people to check in, that their first time check in. And I would love to hear more ladies check in on the after show nets. There's very few and far between with them. You aren't required to have watched the show, as I said, to check in. And so we'd love to have you tune in tonight. We're going to be on 7278 plus or minus there tonight. So join us tonight after the show. Another thing we've got coming up, I know last year we did have a special call signs there, and we had a little contest or so there during Dayton time. And this year I've got in the works, it's going to be the Ham Nation CUSO party. So that's going to be this summer, where everybody works everybody. And more details to come on that. So with that, I think that's about it here from the West Coast. Tune in tonight. I've got the radio warmed up here in the amplifier and the dipole tuned towards the east. And looking for all of you to check in tonight with us on 40 meters on 7278. So with that, from Gilroy, hey, thanks for having me on. And look forward to hearing y'all on 40 meters. This is Whiskey Tango 6 Hotel. Passing it over to Don, AE5DW. Take it away, Don.
Hey, thanks Mike. Man, I don't know how you're going to top the special event from last year. Those were some of the biggest pileups I've ever heard. And I'm looking forward to the CUSO party and hearing more information about that. That's going to be just a ton of fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in Dayton. This is going to be a Dayton year for me. So, Mike, thanks for being there with the after show party and everything that that you do. We really appreciate it. Everybody, I know I speak for everyone here with Ham Nation. We appreciate the efforts that you and all of the net controls do on the after show nets, and both the on-the-air nets and the digital nets on Echolink and on D-Star. So big thanks to everybody for that. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1899, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. Ham Radio came to the aid of a stricken fishing boat off the coast of South Africa after mechanical problems left it floundering at sea.
Trevor Brinch, ZS1TR of South Africa's Hamnet, became the main link in a sea rescue of that nation's southwest coast on Sunday, December 22nd. At 12:48 local time, harbor authorities at Stroosby reported that they picked up a Mayday on 29 megahertz from the commercial fishing vessel Maverick. They could not make any further contact with Maverick and did not know its position. Information obtained from talking to other boats that picked up the distress call was that Maverick could have run out of fuel and had been drifting for about five hours.
Brian.
2 hours into the search, several 29 megahertz transmissions were picked up from the Maverick, but none could be deciphered. That's where the assistance of ZS1TR was enlisted. Using his amateur radio station and his experience in receiving weak signals, Brinch obtained the position of the stranded vessel, which he learned had drifted into shipping lanes. After it was located by a South African rescue ship, it was found that the Maverick had experienced a complete failure of one of its engines that subsequently had run out of fuel. The rescue vessel took the stranded Maverick in tow, and after a four-hour operation, they were safely back in Stroosby Harbor. Without the assistance of ZS1TR and Hamnet, this operation would have extended far into the night, with search planes having to be launched. Thanks to ham radio, that was not necessary. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, reporting.
Hamnet is the Disaster Communication Division of the South African Radio League. Good news for shortwave listeners, the voice of Russia, formerly known as Radio Moscow, is not going QRT after all. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
A few weeks ago, we reported on an all-encompassing external media realignment edict that had been issued by Russia's President Vladimir Putin, one that had, at least on the surface, spelled an end to Russia's external shortwave broadcast service. But SWL blogger Tom Witherspoon, K4SWL, reports that he was curious if this move might have changed, so he contacted the organization to see if it had any official word regarding its future. To his delight, Witherspoon received the following response. We quote, "We are glad to let you know that the Voice of Russia will stay on the air in 2014. However, considerable changes in our frequency schedule are expected. The information on the updated frequency chart will become available on the Voice of Russia's website before the new year at voiceofrussia.com/radio_broadcast/frequencies. So please stay logged in," unquote.
NASA astronaut Mike Hopkins, KF5LJG, has taken what might be the ultimate selfie. This amazing picture was taken while Hopkins was on a spacewalk outside the International Space Station Christmas Eve as he was helping to change out a cooling pump module on the exterior of the orbiting outpost. You can download your own high-res copy at the URL in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. In ham radio business news, United Kingdom-based Innov Antennas has acquired the Force 12 antenna company and product line and has moved the Force 12 production from Texas to Grand Junction, Colorado. This is a facility to be shared with Innov Antennas America. Innov Antennas founder Justin Johnson, G0KSC, was in Colorado late last year to assist in laying out and setting up the factory. The company expects full production to be underway sometime this month. Innov Antennas says it plans to produce updated versions of classic Force 12 antennas, as well as all new models. Meantime, Innov Antennas in the UK is now manufacturing Force 12 products for the European market at its Canvey Island plant. But not all the news is good news. RF amplifier manufacturer Tokyo High Power has filed for bankruptcy. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
At the outset, most of this information comes by way of a posting on the Ham Radio Outlet website. It says that the best it can determine is that the dissolution of Tokyo High Power appears to have occurred on or around December 25th of 2013. Also, that this action in Japan appears to be similar to a Chapter 7 bankruptcy filing here in the United States, as the process in this case appears to be the liquidation of organizational assets in order to attempt to fund some portion of its debt obligations. This, in turn, appears to indicate that a court has deemed that Tokyo High Power is unable to effectively be reorganized under Japan's Civil Reconstruction Code. Tokyo High Power, formerly known as the Tokyo High Power Research Institute, was founded back in 1975. Since then, it has become an industry leader in military, medical, commercial, and amateur radio products. Ham Radio Outlet notes that it has not been directly contacted by Tokyo High Power's home office in Japan concerning any of the information provided in this report. In fact, it learned of this very much like the general public. It says that only after enlisting the assistance of two separate Japanese translators has it been able to determine that the reports of Tokyo High Power's bankruptcy appear to be true.
And finally, keep your ears open for W100AW and W1AW portable stations around the various call districts. The ARRL Centennial QSO Party is in full swing. This year-long event celebrates the 100th birthday of the league. In addition to contacting the various official W1AW and W100AW stations, every member of the ARRL that you contact has a point value, from a single point for general members up to 300 points for ARRL President Kay Craigie in 3KN. You'll find full details at www.arrl.org. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, 73. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Yeah, and even I have a point value. I'm an ARRL member, but I'm also a VE. And that means that I will give you 5 points if you contact me during the ARRL QSO party, the 100th QSO party. Of course, that's going all year. But let's talk about cell phones now for a sec, and let's specifically talk about Ting, because Ting is what's called a no BS mobile service. More technically, they're an MVNO, that is a reseller of the nationwide Sprint network, and they're different because there are no contracts or early termination fees, truly and completely contract free. Also, if you're paying an ETF to come to Ting, they've got your back. They will give you credit for 25% of the ETF up to a $75 per device fee. Just purchase your device through Ting, port your number, then submit your final bill with your ETF detailed from your previous carrier. Ting.com/ETF will give you all the information you want on there. There are no bundling or ride-along services either. And the other guys will charge you if you go over your allocated minutes or text or data. That won't happen with Ting. If you have a heavier month with Ting, you just pay for what you used. Easy as that. Your voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way, call forwarding, all the other features are all part of the service. They're not add-ons. And there's no weird, mysterious line items on your bill either. They charge you for what you use, plus whatever taxes they are legally required to collect. And that's it. There's no hidden charges, no recovery fees, no BS. And you can have as many devices as you want on one plan with your shared pooled minutes, your messages, and your megabytes. Every device on your plan costs just a flat $6 a month. And you can take total control of your account, your usage, and your bills with a powerful online control panel. And if you ever need to talk to somebody, you call 855-TING, F-T-W. Think about that. TING for the win. 855-TING for the win. Anytime between 8 and 8 Eastern Standard Time, an actual real live human being will pick up the phone and talk with you. And you can do it all online as well. Help.ting.com has active customer support forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, video startup guides, everything. Here's how it works. Purchase your mobile device through Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. Or you can bring over your favorite Sprint phone to Ting, like the iPhone 4 or the 4S. Remember, they're a Sprint reseller, so all the Sprint phones will work on that, including the iPhone 4 and the 4S. They've got a full list of eligible phones. Just go to the special URL and click on the BYOD, bring your own device link at the top of the page. They will even help you turn your old device into cash to help with the move to Ting. And after you activate your device with Ting, you'll have the option to select your new phone number or port an existing one. Ting will break your rates out by minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data and bill you at the end of the month for what you've used. I want you to go to hamnation.ting.com today. Do it right after the show. You'll save money and better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator. You will see just exactly how much you or your company can save. And because you're a Ham Nation viewer, you will save $25 on your first Ting device when you sign up. Again, it's hamnation.ting.com. Go there, be happy, and start saving money today. Now, normally at this time, we would go over to Dale for the Show Me Your Shack. Well, Dale is not with us tonight. He's a little bit under the weather. But we want to tell you about this because Dale needs more stills and short videos. So get on the Ham Nation Wiki. I believe it's Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv, I think. I believe that's that.
It
sounds
is
right.
hamnationvideos.info.
That's it. There you go.
.info.
Go to the Ham Nation website here on Twitter, and you get all the information you want. So that will give you everything you want to know to help Dale out with his stills and his short videos. So there you go. And Dale, we hope you get to feeling better. But why don't we go ahead and get us a word from ICOM right now.
Some great XR radios have entered the market in the last year, but let's not forget all the solid analog radios out there. From radios strictly on 2 meters to dual banders with analog capability, ICOM has your complete analog solutions this fall. Check out ICOM's compact military rugged 2-meter IC23H mobile, 65 watts of stable output. Oversized tuning dial is easy to use. It's got 4.5 watts of loud audio and 270 memory channels and multiple scan options. Consider the ICV8000 for your next mobile adventure on 2 meters, 75 watts of output power, a rugged die-cast aluminum chassis, and fast memory scanning with dynamic memory scan. ICOM's IC7000 is an all-mode HF, VHF, UHF mobile. It's a compact radio with a colorful high-res display, dedicated interface keys, and great tuning knob, built-in DSP noise reduction and filtering, and it's popular for de-expeditions and field days as well. Looking for rugged, easy-to-use handhelds with plenty of memory channels, loud audio, and long-lasting battery life? The ICV80 and the V80HD is a 2-meter handheld with 5.5 watts of high power. A built-in BTL amplifier helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, and it's great for noisy environments. There's 207 memory channels, and the HD version includes radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and a rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. The ICT70AHD is a dual-band transceiver for classic operation on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. Like the V80HD, this version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and the rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. It's easy to program with a simple keypad, large backlit alphanumeric display, and it has 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, 302 memory channels, and fast scanning features. Why not take a look today? Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's analog ham radio selection.
And, you know, back in December, we were talking about an IC92AD that ICOM was giving away, and then we didn't have a show due to falling exactly on the same day as Christmas, but ICOM did do the drawing for December, and the winner was Jack KC7YE from Washington. So congratulations, Jack. We know that you're going to enjoy that rig. For January, ICOM's got another one here. This is an IC2300H. It's a rugged 2-meter transceiver with 65 watts of stable output,
4.5 watts of very loud audio, a built-in weather alert function, and it meets the mill standard 810G specifications. Now, if you'd like to win that, or even if you wouldn't, go on over to iComAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win there. You could win swag from the new iCom swag store, or we're giving away a radio once a month. And this month it's going to be that IC2300. And you can register after each episode of Ham Nation. So go there after the show tonight, iComAmerica.com/hamnation, and throw your name in the hat. And now I believe it's time for the chat room, and Cheryl's not with us tonight, but we've got Amanda standing by. Amanda?
Good evening, you guys. Glad to be here again one more time. Everybody hear me okay, I hope?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We had adjusted some volume. Okay, I have a few things. First of all, evidently, Bob is the bomb for having this Mosley interview. Mosley interview. Yes, everybody loved it. I haven't seen so many compliments in my whole life. So great job there, Bob. And okay, this one is for Don. This is a real quick one. Don, are you going to the Hammond Fest before Jackson?
That is my plan, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And before I get to the big question, let me just see. I have to do a shameless plug here, you guys. I've always been part of the North American Traffic and Awards Net. Real quick, we're celebrating our 5th anniversary right now. And right now you have the opportunity to work November 5 Alpha on 7185 every night at, well, it's 5 p.m. Mountain Time, so 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And for the next two nights, Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be November 5 Alpha. So come join me, get a special event contact, get a certificate, yada, yada, yada. You guys, I'd love to talk to you all on the radio. Okay, with that said, let's go to AGC. I know this has always been the biggest question in the world. Jeff has his own opinions, and he's looking at me like, oh, no, don't go there. So who would like to answer the pros and cons of AGC?
That sounds like a Bob
pretty
Howell
easy.
Question.
Yeah, it's ahead, pretty Bob. Easy. George can verify all this. It's automatic gain control. And if you don't have an AGC, the stronger signals are going to just overload the receiver, and you have to back down the RF gain. You see, you have two gains in a receiver. You have the RF gain, which is the signal coming in from the antenna, radio frequency, and you have audio gain that drives the speaker. Well, if you don't have automatic gain control, what'll happen is the stronger signals are just going to overload it. So you got to turn them down manually. I find this on a lot of smaller receivers, and it really is a cumbersome thing. Whereas if you have AGC or AVC, there's several different nomenclatures for it. Boy, it's so nice to have. Then you have slow AVC, slow AGC, or fast. And what happens there is if that signal comes in and hits, it can hit real fast, and it really doesn't make a lot of difference if you're in fast. But if you're in slow, it will come in and will go away, and it won't overload your receiver. And I don't know any other way to describe it. George, is that pretty much what you would describe?
I think that's exactly what I would describe, Bob. I would say on the speed, so I prefer the slow AGC myself, and that's if everybody on the frequency is about the same strength. If you've got one guy that's in there real weak, you may need to turn it to fast, because what happens, a real strong signal comes in, the AGC kicks in, and it turns the volume down more or less so that guy doesn't overload you. And if it's on slow, when he stops talking, it's slowly going to bring the level back up. And that real weak guy, you're not going to hear the first few words of what he says. So fast, you know, if you're dealing with a lot of different signals there, or real noisy band conditions, or just something that's real loud,
that slow would recover too quick. So that's what fast and slow is, basically, to me, is the recovery speed. I hear it more on recovery. I don't hear it so much on the attack, but on the recovery afterwards.
Yeah, when it sucks down, you lose those weak signals. The one guy, like I said, in the CUSA who's really, really weak, and it sucks that down, and all of a sudden you can't hear him anymore. I like to put my AGC on medium or fast and then compensate with that with a manual control of the RF gain. And by using those two controls hand in hand, I think you'll pretty much get a handle on whatever you want to hear.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, Amanda, that pretty much it. Go ahead.
I do have one separate question to this. So you guys are saying that if a radio has the option of turning on AGC to do it. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Normally it's left on and the option is to turn it off or to decrease the effect of it. Some radios, you can't turn the AGC off. So,
okay.
You turn it off and you'll really hear a difference. I mean, it's almost unlistenable if you turn it completely off.
I don't think you can see this, but I'll try it on the receiver behind me. It has AVC off, it has it fast, and it has it slow. I can select it. On some of the ICOM, Kenwood, and Yaesu's, it's in the menu, and they have slow, mid, and fast on some of them. So it is there to select on the receivers if they have it.
Okay, so AGC always on, you guys. After that, it's going to kind of be a preference level or what everybody else is using in your area or such. So that's a great answer, you guys. And I do have one more comment. George, people are questioning, is that robot music that you did during your segment?
I guess it could be used for building robots by, but no, it's just some standard royalty-free music that I got here, and I don't even know what the title of that one was. It had a strange title to it, so probably doesn't matter anyway.
Okay, George, thanks for that. And I'm not good at this, you guys. I'm not Cheryl. I'm sorry. Okay, so when the person I asked about the AGC, that was KC5CW, that was Curtis. And there was one more question. I'll try it. If we run out of time, I'm sorry. Any word on what's going on with Heathkit from KC8YQL?
We haven't heard anything in the newsline office about that at all. I did get an email from Heathkit people, but it was, again, I think just another survey. The last thing I think I got from them was a survey, and that was last year, several months ago. So I don't think anyone really knows. From what I can remember, from what I've seen, is they're kind of, I think someone is gauging interest as to whether or not to maybe invest the money to bring that back in. If anyone else has heard anything, I haven't heard. Bob, George?
All right. It kind of depends on the day you look for it, because change their mind every once in a while. Oh,
it's
boy.
A big fact finding.
Well, listen
right
to
me.
I did see something
listen
recently.
Listen to me.
I saw a story posted, I believe it was on Reddit here within the past week or two, and it was supposedly by someone involved in the new Heathkit organization, although I didn't see where he gave his name, but it was sort of like a chat. They were texting. They would ask him a question, and he would respond, are you going to build the old gear again? Are you going to have those kits? And he'll come back, yes, we're thinking about having them, and he'll talk a little bit about that. And they ask him a lot of different questions that all of us want to know the answer to. But the answers were, you know, nothing you could write home about, nothing definite. But it sounds like they're coming back, but nobody really wants to put a name or a face to it yet.
Right. No one has even identified themselves as being, hey, my name is Joe Blow, and I'm the guy behind Heathkit. No one has come out to actually identify themselves. So who knows?
Who knows? Good answer. Who knows? Well, Amanda, we really thank you for being here tonight, and especially for all that you do for the emergency out there. We'll have you on again real soon, but thanks for filling in for Cheryl, and we'll catch you on the air sometime soon and have some more QSOs, okay?
Thanks a lot, Bob. George, Don, you guys are great, and I know Mike was in there earlier. You guys are wonderful, and I could never replace Cheryl in what she does. She's awesome at this chat stuff. It's hard to keep up. So thanks, you guys, and maybe I'll hear you on 40 tonight. So
hey, Amanda, quick little thing. Show them what you've got on your shirt. Because this is you've got a Broncos shirt on. I've got a Saints shirt. It is not outside the realm of possibility for it to be a Broncos Saints Super Bowl. And you know what happened the last time? You know, you've got Peyton Manning now. You know what happened the last time Peyton Manning met Drew Brees in the Super Bowl, don't you? That happened.
I'm not aware.
Look, here you go. That's what happened.
Very
That's
good,
Don. That's what happened. Uh-huh. Well, who dat, baby? Who dat?
If that happens... If that happens, we'll have her back and we'll discuss it.
Absolutely.
You guys are the funniest.
Super duper. Where will you be on 40 meters, my dear? You're going to be, 72, 78 with Mike?
That's correct. I'm going to try to get in there and say hello to a bunch of people.
Okay. And then Cheryl won't be on 75, but Dave's going to sit in for her. So 38, 47 will be alive and happening with Dave, K9LPK. So we got that going. And what's going on in Dewdrop and Echo Link and all of that, George?
Well, Bob, I don't feel right now with Don and Amanda. You know, they had on their football paraphernalia there. All I've got is a Syncor pocket protector here. So you know which way I'm leaning. But let's see.
To the
Echo
left.
Link tonight is on Reflector 14, Module C. It's great to have that net back up and running in full force again. I got that wrong. That's D-Star. D-Star, Reflector 14, Module C. Echo Link is always star, do drop in star, or node number 355-800. So join either one or both of those nets tonight if you have the capabilities. They'll be glad to hear from you. Good show. Glad to have you back tonight, Bob. And we're looking forward to seeing Gordo and Dell and Cheryl and the rest of the gang next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really am glad to be back. I hate to end the note on kind of a sad note, but we need to let everybody know these wonderful signs that all of us have in our background. I noticed mine is, I need to raise that a little. Those are done by Jim, KF4NBG. And he is a wonderful guy. Well, he lost his wife, Nancy, on January the 1st. What a horrible way to start the new year. So we all want to just remember him in our prayers. He's a great guy. And I want to thank him for all he does for each of us here at Ham Nation. And we're thinking about you and hope that you get along okay, Jim. So thanks a lot for all of that. In the meantime, I have to get on with it. We're introducing a bunch of new products this week. The new 781 Gold is now shipping. Is it beautiful? And finally, we got our HBAs ready to go so we can have wireless microphones, no cable between your transmitter and receiver, and all the dealers have it. We're so thrilled. But boy, did it take a lot to get all that going. We got a bunch more coming. But we'll see you here next week. Gordon will be back. And who knows what will happen here on Ham Nation. Spread the word. Let everybody know how much fun we have. And we'll see you on all the afternets. Well, thanks very much to Leo Laporte and everyone at the production studio in Petaluma. We appreciate all of your help. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on the air in just a little. This is K9 EID. Bye-bye for now.